I don't know. That's just what pedestrian, average, mediocre receivers do. What's up? What's up? My man Deion Sanders, we all right, huh? We all right? Yeah, we all right. We gonna go to the Super Bowl again, being all right.
You're listening to the Pedestrian Podcast, the official UK podcast for the Seattle Seahawks. Here are your hosts, Ross Bell, Stuart Court, and Adam Nathan. Go Hawks!
Welcome to the Pedestrian Podcast. This is still the one and only and very much official UK Seahawkers podcast. Myself, Stuart Court, is as ever joined by Mr. Ross Bell and Mr. Adam Nathan. How are we, guys?
Wonderful, sir. I can't wait for real football to return, so I can be done with this bloody Leeds rubbish.
Yeah, exactly. Replace Leeds for Coventry. Adam?
I'm doing very well. We've currently got Middlesbrough 25 minutes to hold on against Arsenal. If they can nick us a point, that would be magnificent news. So if I'm ever so slightly otherwise engaged, obviously my content will still be complete flames. But, you know, maybe I'll be a little bit more distracted than normal.
This episode, we will scour over some of the minor Seahawk-related headlines, look ahead to what the draft may bring in 10 days' time, as well as a few true or false, as always, and some general NFL league-wide chat. But let's start with the big headlines, shall we? Richard Sherman, the Seattle Seahawks, number 25, appears to either not be long for Seattle or back toeing the company line in 2017, as he appears, apparently, to most insiders and those who think they are in the know to be on the trade block. Everyone knows the deal with it and how we all got to this point. So, Adam, thoughts?
My main thought is that it's been a complete and utter mess, and I don't understand how it ended up being so just not normal in the way that Seahawks do their business. It's been so public. And I don't see who, I don't see how the team is going to win here, because either Sherman's going to get the trade and then he's going to win and the team's going to lose, or he's going to stay. And I worry that there are irreparable damages now done between the team and the player. And so we lose again. So I have to say I'm A, disappointed that it's even become an issue. I think it's the sort of thing that player, general manager and coach should just be told by the ownership, sort it out and get on with it. And yeah, I'm just pretty disappointed and shocked by the whole thing.
Yeah, Ross?
Yeah, echoing everything Adam said, I completely agree. I was fair enough, he wants to see what his value is on the open market, that's fine. But this has rumbled on for far too long now, and it's leaving a really negative taste in my mouth. It's not something that I want hanging over us, heading into the draft, let alone for the start of the training camps and stuff.
But it's not even about open market. I mean, he isn't in a position to test it. This is purely led by the team, which just makes it all more confusing.
Hmm. Well, some suggest that it was him who instigated this after all the set twos he had with Darryl Bevell and Chris Richard during the season. But for me, I think it's so Alex's point out, when the Seahawks do deals of this magnitude, which this deal would be, no one knows about it. No one knew Percy Harvin deal was coming down the pipe. No one knew the Jimmy Graham deal was coming down the pipe. But people seem to think that Michael Bennett was being traded, seem to think that Marshall Lynch was being traded, seem to think this, seem to think that, and none of the deals that everyone was waiting to happen didn't. And this just seems like a really aggressive PR move by the team, the front office, to get their one of their core guys back in line after what was a year where he really did. I mean, in Seattle, they've got the Super Bowl exhibition EMP in Seattle, and what they got the mantras of Pete Carroll, number one is protect the team.
Yeah.
Richard Sherman didn't protect the team that much in 2016, so it's clear, for me, it's just then Richard Sherman would be a Seahawk in 2017, but if this doesn't work and he still wants to throw the toys out the proverbial, the next 10 days could be quite telling in where Richard Sherman is in 2017. If he is traded, where do you see him getting, or and what cost would be acceptable to you two, Russ?
Well, definite first round pick, and it's from what I've read, they want a first round pick plus a couple of other picks and a good player. I think that's asking far too much, because no one's going to give that up for an aging corner. But a first round pick and a couple of mids, maybe, what I'd take. Possibly the Titans' number 18 pick. That would be of interest to me. I think he'd work there as well.
Yeah, I think it's quite interesting. There was a talk somewhere on Twitter over the weekend that the Seahawks may look to trade up, and then the Tennessee Titans release Jason Corti, who now looks like he might be joining his brother in New England. And sometimes when stuff like that happens, that may be the first domino to fall in all of that. Adam?
I'm honestly so anti this deal that there's nothing that I would be happy with. I guess you'd tolerate if you got a player, a first round pick, and maybe a second round pick for next year or whatever. But honestly, I'm at the point where I think if the trade does go down, we're not going to end up with anything like what we think we should. It wouldn't surprise me as if we ended up going with Tennessee that it might be a swapping of first round picks plus a couple of later round picks. I really think the aggressive nature that the team are pursuing this, they really want this guy. I don't know. Maybe I'm looking at it the wrong way, but I think the team are trying to get rid much more than we hope they are.
I can see that point of view. I don't necessarily agree with it. I think it is just a really weird way of getting one of your guys back in line or anything. But if I think the Titans would be the most sensible fit. The Patriots would just be an all-time annoyance if it ends up going there.
It'd be the worst possible outcome.
Yeah, but if it is the Titans, I think it would be. It probably would be a swap of first-round picks, maybe a mid-round this year, the mid-round next year, because we're not going to get many, if any, compo picks next year. So that'd be something to look ahead. But as I said, the next 10 days between now and the draft seems to be the hot seat for Richard Sherman and the trade, because you can't really trade 2017 picks in the second week of May because the draft is in the rear view. Other Seahawk adjacent news is focusing on number 24, Marshawn Lynch. Marshawn Lynch, who retired 14 months ago, has made moves, whispers, and initial steps, it seems, to retire. And it does seem that in 2017, if Marshawn Lynch does take the field in the National Football League, it will not be in Seattle, but back in his hometown in Oakland. It appears that minor draft picks, or maybe even a Cleveland Brown-esque movement of cap space from Oakland to the Seahawks, will be the move they make, and will be quite an easy one to push through once Lynch officially is reinstated into the league. We can't really begrudge him this one, can we, Adam?
Not at all. I mean, if anything, he sort of did the team a favour by not carrying on, because he looked like he lost a step and we'd splashed out loads of money for him. So for one thing, I can't really see where our leverage is in even looking for a trade, because we don't have any leverage with him having a $9 million cap number. So I'm quite surprised that it's happening that they're renegotiating the contract and then doing the trade. I don't understand why Lynch would do that, really. I think I don't see why he's not pushing to be cut and then signed by the Raiders, but they obviously have their reasons for it. I think it's awesome. I think it's going to be great, and I'm delighted that he's going to be playing in the NFL again, because I love watching him. And in another parallel universe, I sort of wish he could still be a Seahawk.
Yeah, I agree. As I wrote when he retired and I said, he's a franchise-altering player. This whole Seahawk window we appear to be perched inside of, it all started and it all revolved around him for 3, 4, 5 years. So you can't begrudge him anything like this. I'll be really surprised if draft picks end up moving unless I really do think it might just be a case of Oakland giving us money that we possibly could owe Lynch. Ross?
Yeah, it makes me a little bit sad because he's a Seahawk. My mum obviously was drafted by the Bills, but he's a Seahawk, and I wanted to retire as a Seahawk. But is this not just a massive PR stunt by Oakland to kind of encourage fans to come to Oakland for the 2-year death march before they piss off to Vegas?
No, but it probably is, because it is going to happen. So I take it is going to soften the blow when Lynch retires in a year or 2 years, but you're still getting a guy who's going to be an improvement in the position, even with a year out that they had. And they were not far away last year from being a Final Four AFC conference team.
A quarterback injury
last year. Yeah, so if you add Marshawn Lynch to that, you take the added PR bonus. But this is quite clearly a team which is primed to win and win quite soon as well. So I think it's more on field. The off field stuff is a massive bonus, obviously. Though at the same time,
I think it depends what deal he gets there. I mean, if he only gets a 1 year deal, then I think you could say it's strictly football because they've got loads of cap room and they may as well use it on him, even though it does roll over. If it starts getting to 2 years, then you may start to think, is it a PR thing? Because they've obviously got Khalil Mack to pay soon. They've got Derek Carr to pay soon. And that cap space will slowly start to dwindle. So I think before knowing exactly what they're after, I think we need to see the terms of the deal first, and that will be quite illuminating.
Moving on next on the calendar, and the 24/7, 365 deal that is the NFL is a schedule release that appears to be coming any hour or any day now. So for no real reason, with no real intel, week one opponent, who will be who and where, Ross?
We're going to play the 49ers in Seattle, because why not?
Yeah. Adam?
I think it will also be divisional, and I think it might end up being a Monday night against the Rams.
Yeah, I think that's what I've got. It appears that it's going to be the Chiefs against the Patriots on opening night on Thursday, and the Falcons' first game in their new stadium is the Sunday night game, so there is only the Monday night primetime slots available. So I think the Rams. I was amazed it wasn't Rams week one last year, to be honest, with all the LA move and Pete Carroll and everything, but I think this year, obviously, new coaches and all that in Los Angeles, and he said St. Louis there. We will cover all that in our draft poll, because it does look like we will be getting an answer to the schedule questions. I know a lot of people are primed with a Skyscanner and Kayak bookmark on their relevant web browsers. We'll cover that on our draft pod next week and break it down some more, make some very early predictions for the 2017 Seahawks season. Talking of the draft, that is beginning to crystallise and ferment, and for me, get all rather exciting with what the team may do at 26, or with the 26th pick in general. So now we will go through a few scenarios. What we're going to do is just all the different things that the Seahawks could do. So, Ross, the Seahawks trade back from 26. Who is the team most likely they trade back with, and what player does that team take?
Trade back, so 26 to 32.
Wherever you want.
Right, okay. Let me look at the draft order quickly then. We move back maybe to the end of the first round. The Saints have got the 32 pick, haven't they, currently?
Yeah.
From the Patriots. So maybe they move up, they try and get one of these flashy running backs, possibly, and then we can hopefully still get one of the premier corners. I've completely gone off the idea of an offensive lineman in the first round.
I've gone off the idea of offensive lineman altogether, so that's probably what we're going to do.
You're fine there.
Yeah. Adam, trade back, who with, and what player are they trading up for?
Trade back. Well, I've always had a thought that before the draft comes, the Browns might look to get Jimmy Garoppolo and use the number 12 overall pick and their first pick of the second round. So I wonder if, having got rid of those two picks, they then look to get number 26 off us, because they have got an abundance of picks. So maybe that'll be the case. And with that, I'm going to pronounce his name wrong, maybe Melifenwu, if some of the premier cornerbacks that they want are gone and they think they can get someone like an Akello Witherspoon at the end of the second round.
I do think it will be the Browns are the likeliest one. They seem to be primed to retool the defense at 2 and at 12, the other pick is.
1 and 12 they've got.
We have 1 and 12, sorry. They do seem, and then they're going to come and get their QB OTF at in the back end of the first round, have the fifth-year option on that pick as well. And really, it's quite likely that they're going to have the pick of all the quarterbacks, I think. Trubisky seems to be on a bit of a slide. DeShone Kizer appears to be drifting out a little bit. DeShone Watson, his arm strength is massive question mark. From all the drills and skills they did at the combine in Indianapolis, my favourite is Patrick Mahomes out of Texas Tech, and I think he's going to be the next Arizona Cardinal quarterback, so he probably will be the first quarterback taken. And then you've got Davis Webb in California as well, who seems to be getting a slow build-up as the draft comes ever nearer. So yeah, I do think if we trade back, it will be the Browns at 33, and then they'll come and get their quarterback, and then we can still probably have our run at a decent starting corner at 33. The Seahawks stick and pick and go offense. How likely is that and position, and if you want, who, Adam?
If they go offense, it can only be for Cam Robinson. Unless maybe Njoku or Howard's not going to fall that far. No. But it's not going to be a skilled position on offense. You wouldn't have thought, tight ends aside. But I mean, Cam Robinson I would be really disappointed with that. And I can't see any way they go offensive with their first pick.
No, I would be surprised. For me, I think someone like Forrest Lamp could be the guy at 26, tackle guard, because all five of our current starting linemen are tackles and our guards as well. So he does fit into that thing. I do think he'd probably be available at 26 as well. Ross?
I can't see us going offense, but if we do, Cam Robinson, Ryan Ramczyk, any of those sort of guys, the question marks over Ramczyk because of his injury possibly makes him drop a little bit, so either of those two. As much as I'd like to just go and get a really flashy wide receiver just to add to the collection that we've got already, but that's not going to happen.
No, I agree. So yeah, moving on, the Seahawks stick at 26 and go defense. Ross, who, in what position, and how likely is it?
It's between Kevin King and, like, I can't say his name, Melifonwu, either of those two, because they both look like Seahawks players to me. I'll be happy with either of those two.
Yeah, I wholeheartedly agree. I think a dark horse could be someone like Cordae Tankersley from Clemson. Adam?
I haven't got a player in mind specifically, but I am slightly worried that Kevin King is going to end up being taken excessively highly because of very good combine that doesn't necessarily match up to, albeit very good, but not first round tape. Whilst I would certainly not complain if we got him, I also, if you know, DeShone Shedd was maybe going to get healthy, I wouldn't be averse to taking Sidney Jones with that pick and sort of redshirting him for a year, because the long term of the team, I think you end up with a considerably better player with Jones than King.
Yeah.
Can we see any linebackers possibly? Because I'd like another linebacker there.
No, unless Tim Williams from Alabama. Tyus Bowles is far too early at 26, although I do a really big fan of Bowles. But yeah, a linebacker is not a great position. Maybe if Tack McKinley falls, he could be a guy who they look to.
Sam Reddick, maybe?
Yeah, that again. I think I'd be surprised if he gets past Washington. Right. At this
Ruben
at this Foster's stage.
Not fall.
No, Ruben Foster's not going to fall past 15, probably. So, but yeah, the other way they could go, obviously, on draft night in 10 days' time, the Seahawks do something which is they haven't done, I don't believe, in the first round under the Carroll Schneider tutelage. They move on up into earlier on in the first round. If they do that, who is it for, who with, and how likely do you peg it as, Russ?
I can't remember the safety. What's it, Hooker? Is that him?
Yeah, they're going to have to go. They're going to have to go to two or three to get Malik Hooker.
Do you think? I think top 10,
yeah,
possibly.
Yeah, they're going to have to fly up the board for Malik Hooker.
Him or Marshawn Lattimore, those two guys would be my only ones we'd really want to move up for. Unless we go to one and get Myles Garrett, that'd be awesome, but that's not going to happen.
Imagine that.
Well, you never know with the Browns.
Yeah. Adam?
I think probably the most likely team that you would get a high pick off are the Jets, because they have no interest in winning this year, and I think they'd be more than happy to stock picks for next year. Hopefully maybe get someone like Sam Darnold and, just look after themselves for next year. I actually think they're having a fairly good off-season in the sense that they're saving themselves loads of money. They're not picking up old veterans on big contracts. So they may be one at six that you could feasibly get someone off. But I'm not a big fan of trading up in this draft. I don't necessarily see a player that could, unless you are going for someone like a Myles Garrett, who can really be worth what we'd have to give up, to be honest.
Yeah,
I do think that the likeliest team we move up for would be the Titans. They seem to have a GM and front office there now, which seems to be quite happy to dash all over the draft board during the draft. And if they do go up that high, you front and centre looking at Garrett Bowles. Utah, obviously, our two-time guest, Rob Staten, has been banging the drum for him as the best tackle in this draft class, and it seems that everyone else is catching up with that, which Rob has been on that wagon since, I think, October or early November. So if I think the Titans and for Garrett Bowles would be a pretty nailed-on thing to move up for. But
it's
I do
18,
think,
is it?
Yeah, I do think that will be possibly where you have to go to get him, because he's not 4-26. I think Ramczyk, his injury and his 1 year is going to probably push him to closer to the middle of the second round as well. But if you move up seven, eight, nine spots and get Garrett Bowles, then yeah, with Joko and with Ibushi and with all the second year bounces you're hopefully going to get from the guys from 2016, then the O-line has been addressed just as they said they would. So out of all those, which one do you think's the likeliest, Adam?
I reckon it's 5% trade up, 45% trade back, 50% stay where we are.
I just think we're going to stick and pick this year. Russ?
Yeah, that's probably the most likely, sticking where we are. But I think a lot of it depends on how this chairman thing plays out, doesn't it?
Well, I think that's why the next 10 days are massive for that. But if he's still a Seahawk by pick 26, then I'd be surprised that they move back, because with the options they're going to have at 26 and with Richard Sherman still in the building as well. But we will post these up on the UK Seahawkers Twitter and Facebook to get you guys involved and cover some of your suggestions for picks or moves that the team may make next Thursday night on our live draft pod, which is obviously coming next Thursday night. Now then, league-wide has been a bit busy. We talked about Marshawn Lynch getting his release. Tony Romo has seen all the ropes Marshawn Lynch has to jump and thought to ask Jerry Jones for his release. So if he does come back, it's a lot easier for Romo than it's going to be for Lynch. But the best thing about Tony Romo's retirement is that there's no more Phil Sims, Adam.
Yeah, that is quite funny, although it's difficult to know if he'll actually be any good. I mean, you're asking quite a lot for a guy to come in and take such a specialised role with not too much notice, probably about 6 months to sort of learn the position as such. Sims, not really a favourite of anyone, I don't think, apart from Mrs. Sims, I would imagine. Maybe even she's not that partial. I think it's cool. If I was Romo, I think it was lunacy that he thought he would carry on playing, and even more stupid to go to another team, because what does he want to go and do that to his legacy for? These jobs don't come around often. And as a podcast that I listened to quite rightly said, if you look at what the younger generation think of Troy Aikman as, they think of him as a broadcaster, not a quarterback. And Romo's now got the opportunity to do something similar.
I completely agree with his decision to, at least for now, walk away, because it's just long-term health that he was risking by, especially going to a team with an O-line like the Houston Texans as well. which just would not have been a smart move. It is going to be quite interesting to see. It does look like, obviously, the preseason games were announced, and the week three game against the Chiefs is going to be broadcast nationally on CBS, and it appears that that will be the first Tony Romo, Jim Nance game of the 2017 season. So that could be, that's quite cool. Romo, Ross?
Yeah, it was the right decision, wasn't it? We all saw how he got injured last season, and I mean, he was barely touched. Avril just kind of glanced him and he went down in like a sack of shit. So, it's the best move. You don't want to go somewhere else where you're going to get hit all the time. And it's good to see someone hanging up when at the right time, I think. The worst thing is to see these players just go on and on and on and just get progressively worse.
Yeah, and then last week, obviously, Mark Cuban got him involved with the Mavericks. He was sat on the bench, and Mark Cuban said that he wanted that, to... Lord. I love that. I think that's so cool.
Yeah, but he's going to cause so many of these now. So many are going to be rubbish.
But the one of the only owners who would even think about doing it would be Mark Cuban, in the NBA, because he chases that the quick dollar, doesn't he? And obviously they're probably going to. I can't believe they haven't started selling 9 Romo jerseys.
They have. They sold out.
Have they? Oh wow! So Romo 9 jerseys and Grasshoppers at Safeco Field are selling out then. Elsewhere, another NFC East quarterback, Eli Manning, has been caught up in a fake autographed merch scandal. What's more surprising, the story or the fact it's Eli Manning who's doing this, Russ?
I think the fact that it's Eli, because I don't imagine Eli does anything when he's not on the football field. I mean, I imagine him just staring at a wall waiting for Sunday again.
And to be fair, on most of them, he doesn't stop staring at the wall. He doesn't really throw the ball very far. Adam?
I didn't even know this had happened, to be honest.
Oh, yeah.
So it shows how clued up I am this week.
Yeah. Over the weekend, there's been emails and documents and I think audio leaked of Eli Manning telling the equipment guy at the Giants to give him jerseys with Manning 10 and helmets and to make them look like they were game worn so he could sell them, which is apparently racketeering or something, and obviously fraud to a certain extent. So Eli could be in a bit of doo-doo with all that. Other slight-hearted NFL news. Las Vegas, arm wrestling, James Harrison, Marshawn Lynch is involved in this. 3 weeks after the NFL move a team to Las Vegas and all that comes with putting a team in Las Vegas and all the gambling and all that, the NFL kick off because some players went to Las Vegas and took part in an arm wrestling competition. This is almost the NFL's short-sightedness to a T, isn't it, Adam?
Yeah, well, firstly, as we've not mentioned, it's very disappointing to see Oakland moving to Las Vegas in the first place. You know, it's not, they have got a crap stadium, but you'd like to think that it's not good to see three teams moving in 15 months. So, you know, that's that. And secondly, the NFL just can't get out their own way with this, and they're going to cause themselves so many problems with their stupid rules about stuff like this. And they're going to have a Super Bowl in Las Vegas at some point. So God knows how they're going to reconcile their stupid rules with the actual reality of what goes on.
Yeah. And also on Las Vegas, there's, as Ross can attest to, WWE and Vince McMahon love being the first people to do something. They were the first people to have an outdoor 80,000 event at MetLife a year before the Super Bowl. So in the next 3-4 years, there's going to be a WrestleMania in Las Vegas, and that is going to be absolute carnage. Ross?
Yeah, well, the league have made their bed. They're going to have to line it now. This stuff is going to happen more and more and more all the way through the off-season, through the season. You can't move a team to LA and then not expect players to gamble. I mean, my thoughts on the gambling rules aside, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, it is. It's ridiculous.
What do they expect to happen?
On top of cancelling this arm wrestling in the last 3 years, Tony Romo has tried to host a fantasy football clinic, I think it is, in Las Vegas, and the NFL have kiboshed him every year. This year, now he's retired, having it at Cowboys Stadium, which just doesn't seem, it's bizarre. And the NFL next year are rumoured to be moving the 2018 NFL draft inside the Dallas Cowboys training facility. So they are all over the shop with things like this. Anything else NFL-wide, guys, caught your attention the last few weeks?
I like that Dean Blandino resigned pretty much as soon as they got centralized replays.
Yeah.
I'm done.
This is almost like, and I think quite a few people listening may wish this had happened, Donald Trump running for president for 18 months and then on January 11th impeaching himself and giving it to someone else. It's basically what Dean Blandino's done. He's campaigned for this for the last couple of years, eventually got all the owners on side, they pass it, and then he goes, I'm going to go into TV, I think.
I saw a thing today of him walking out the door saying, oh yeah, by the way, Dez caught that ball.
Adam, anything else NFL-wise?
Anything else NFL-wise? What has been of any interest? Nothing really. I mean, I guess the Joe Mixon stuff is a little bit messy, and that's going to be interesting to see how that pans out. Yeah. But apart from that, it was very funny seeing Michael Silver announce that Lynch had signed with Oakland and then have to backtrack, because he is one of the most annoying people that NFL have. So that was a rare bright spot. Apart from that, I don't think there's been too much of interest.
No. Moving on, quick true or false. Ross, don't kick us off.
Yeah, go for it. This might not be of any interest to Adam, but Rob Gronkowski will take part in a match at next year's WrestleMania, true or false?
Oh, I think that's almost unquestioned at this point. Adam, I don't know if you paid any attention.
I saw.
He got involved in WrestleMania and then SmackDown two nights later as well, throwing drink at a heel called Jinder Mahal. It's the most Gronkowski and ridiculous thing at the same time.
I've written a post about Gronk and the WWE on the palaceofwisdom.co.uk if you want to check that out.
Oh, look at that for a sneaky plug as well.
I'll add a double down true or false that Rob Gronkowski will be a WWE superstar within 4 years.
No, definitely.
No, I don't see that.
Because I'm not sure his body's going to hold up to play in the NFL too much.
No, yeah, I agree with that. I do think, because last couple of years, they were supposed to have Shaquille O'Neal at WrestleMania this year, and he backed out. They had Stephen Amell do a few months of a storyline a couple of years ago from the TV show Arrow. David Arquette once won the WCW heavyweight title. Unsurprising that company folded 18 months later when they make decisions like that. So I think Gronkowski will be the next one. They always have a celebrity match. Floyd Mayweather was in a match a few years ago. The WWE seemed to be pursuing Conor McGregor quite aggressively and heavily, if certain people in the industry will have you believe.
He's the new Goldberg.
Yeah, Gronkowski will be involved in the next WrestleMania if Mojo Rawley is healthy. Adam?
My true or false is, and this is going to be a bit of a dig at the Seahawks, unfortunately, if Jermaine Ifedi plays right tackle next year, then they have completely wasted a year of his career for absolutely no reason.
True.
No, I don't think so. Because Tom Cable seems to like players who can play in multiple positions. I know he struggled at guard, he technically can play multiple positions, so if he goes out to right tackle and does well, then he's got more likelihood of sticking around.
But is this versatility thing actually helping us? When we were a good team, well, we're obviously a good team, when we were a dominant team, the line in general had players that had positions and certainly played on the same side for a year and didn't bounce around right, left, and centre. And it just seems that if he's going to have to spend a year learning a new position in right tackle, why not do that in his rookie year as opposed to mess up his rookie year when he was mediocre? You might as well have given him the learning reps then.
He couldn't have been worse than Saul or Gilliam at right tackle last year as a rookie.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, Gilliam ended the season okay. Well, he sold the train wreck. Yeah, it looks that way. if he doesn't work at right tackle, then he won't be on the team by 2019, so it was a waste of a draft pick, and then you wasted money on Jamarcus Webb. That's the bigger thing from last offseason, how much money we wasted on him, and then by the time we cut him, it was too late to get a compensatory pick for him. So that's more of a waste, and from last season. Not trusting Jermaine and Fede. It wasn't a pick. I was a massive fan of when it happened. Me and Ken Kozarowski, when we were on Pro Football Spot last draft season, were all on Jonathan Bullard, who went in like the third round to the Bears, which shows how much I know about the draft. But it's a disappointing pick to start with. But I don't think we wasted a year of his career by giving him 12 games or however many he played, even if it's not, it's going to be his position for the next decade at most in the NFL. Ross, did you answer that question?
I think it was a waste, because he couldn't have been worse than the other two at right tackle. But let's say Fetty, if he bounces out there this season, then we'll see what he can do. But I don't know. I still don't think they really know what they're doing with this offensive line.
No.
Just throwing bodies at
it. Quite worrying. Like 7 years into the Tom Cable approach is quite worrying. My true or false is the NFC champion for 2017 wasn't in the 2016 playoffs.
Okay, so something like a Ram, not definitely not the Rams. A Panthers kind of bounce
back. Yeah.
I'll have to look at the NFC playoff teams. Hang on. NFC playoffs 2016.
Adam?
False.
Who do you think will be the?
Well, I think, you know, you're probably best. What's your best bet there? I don't think Arizona are going to be.
I do think it'll be Carolina.
I think that's the only other option, really.
Yeah.
They're going to have a seriously good draft. Cam Newton's going to have to show that last year was an outlier and not the normal. If anything, 2015 has been, thus far, been the outlier to his career.
Yeah. Yeah, that's fair. I'm
pleased to not have to play them again.
That is a massive plus. Yeah.
So boring.
I'm going to say false because we're going to win it all next year. So.
I'm nowhere near that confident about next year.
Yeah, that's not why I'm saying false.
No. I think fourth seed and just then pray, I think, is what we're going to have to look for next year.
Just on that then, quickly, of the six NFC teams, who misses the playoffs? Apart from, obviously, the Cowboys, because they're going to go 3-13.
I think it will be the Cowboys. I think Dak Prescott will... Colin Kaepernick was something the league had never seen for years before, how powerful he was running the ball and throwing the ball, and the league soon caught up with that. Dak Prescott wasn't that unique. He was just efficient, and it's the league are going to find a way to stop that.
Yeah.
And when they do that, Zeke Elliott is a generational back, but I still, that defense is strange.
It is.
I think it will be the Cowboys with this out. Adam?
Fair enough.
Probably Detroit, the most likely, if anyone, I would say.
Yeah.
They've spent a lot of money.
Yeah, that is true, actually. They've spent a lot of money on the offensive line. I'm not convinced that Jones and Tate are enough at receiver. I thought they both had particularly good years last year, although I guess if they went and drafted a really good tight end, they could be good again. But that defense isn't up to too much yet either.
No, Darius Slade and it's everyone else on that defense is a bit of a way behind him. But obviously the draft, as we keep saying, is 10 days away. That is when the next Pedestrian Podcast episode will be with you. We're going to try and do something live. The draft will start, I think, about midnight or 12:30 on Thursday night, Friday morning. So that will be quite a lethargic podcast, I can imagine. By the time the Seahawks trade out of the first round, we'll stay up till 5 o'clock again. If you want to get in touch with us and get involved in that podcast, you can via all the usual social media means. It's on Twitter, it's at SeahawkersUK. For myself, it's at Stu_Court. For Adam, it's at Adam D. Nathan. And for Ross, it's at RossBowl1984. We're the UK Seattle Seahawks fans on Facebook, ukseahawkers.com. The National Meet, we are still opened for people to come and pay and to come have a few beers. Myself and Ross will be there in the Canal House in on the 27th at 2 o'clock for if the cup final, if the cup final's at 3:00. If it's not, we can change that, but we will be watching the cup final from the bar before all the evening's events kick off. If you want to get involved, all the information is on the Facebook group. It is on ukseahawkers.com. It's £5. You just got to send it to my PayPal, please. And also, this podcast does have all the Patreon. Ross, do you want to run through how can people get involved in that?
Yeah, if you head over to patreon.com/thepedestrianpodcast, as last month Chris Balding did. He pledged to be a backer of ours, and he's got a sticker on his way to him. And if you do it during the off season, I'm opening up all of the tiered stuff to available to everyone. So if you're a backer for $1, you get all the stuff that the $5 and $10 people get as well, as a little bonus.
Yeah.
So that's like film rooms we're doing, and just lots of special stuff. It will come your way as well.
Yeah, and everything hopefully will get better the more we do it, and we'll learn how we do other things outside of your weekly podcast. It's a long old way away from the 2017 season, but until next time, the next 10 days are going to be a lot of fun and excitement as the Seahawks at 26. We may learn the fate of Mr. Richard Sherman in the next 10 days, but this has been the Pedestrian Podcast. Thank you very much for listening, and
go Hawks.
Home, your Seahawks Super Bowl 48 champions.